because it's December and we're getting ready for Christmas, we thought we'd do a little bit of investigating of a phenomenon that happened a few thousand years ago. Ross, what are we talking about here?
The Star of Bethlehem. You know, something obviously happened because the story is carried on today. So something must have happened in the sky for it to carry on and be recorded and stuff like that. On sort of like trudging through Google and lots of other things that I looked through, it's really interesting what they actually kind of have pieced together, because now luckily we have computer programs that can look back and see maybe what the sky was like. I mean, you can't be 100%, but it's interesting. I thought it'd be quite cool just to have a fun read about what it could have been and, you know, what happened in the sky around that time.
I'm under the impression there's probably about two or three different theories to what it actually is.
There's about like six or seven different things that happened to make it happen, if you know what I mean. Like, kind of like, it's more astrology, but with astronomy. It's kind of strange. We're putting them both together, which I might get shot for as an astronomer. Take it with a pinch of salt. It's just for a bit of fun because it's Christmas. But yeah, if we go through it, we can have a chat and see what you think. First of all, I just want to let everyone know that I'm not really religious in any way. I like to research online and read through several free sources that are on there about possible answers. And I actually found it quite fascinating by the end, to me, both scientifically and sort of culturally, because they both kind of go together. So here we go. In the biblical Gospel of Matthew, it's said that a star appeared at the birth of someone called Jesus of Nazareth. You may have heard of him. It was also stated by Roman and Jewish historians as witnessed by ancient prophets at the time. And the story still survives in a massive way today. So, some real astronomical event occurred around this time. But when and what? Well, if you look at when Jesus was born, it was during the reign of King Herod, which we've heard about. He's in the story as well. And most of the evidence from historians points to the king's death being around about 1 BC. So they reckon that Jesus must have been born around 3 to 2 BC, which gives us a time frame to start looking for any astronomical event around, you know, that sort of time that happened. Luckily, as I said, we're able to use computer programs nowadays to see how the sky looked at precise dates and locations in the past. But before we do this, we need to know a little bit more about this star and like the accounts from people about what it is or what it looked like or what it did. So the first one to give us an account of the star were the three men called Magi, which is translated means wise men, which also is where we get the word magic. They consulted the rulers for guidance on matters of court. Some were called astronomers who gave guidance according to the stars, now known as astrology. So Magi pretty much means wise man. Now the three wise men who ended up talking to King Herod on their journey, Herod himself wanted to know where they were going and why. So they stated to him that this star that was in the sky represented one birth, two kingship, and three a significance to the Jewish faith. Now, it's not the first time a Magi has told this. Apparently, in 63 BC, some Magi told the Roman Senate the same thing. And the same conclusion was made. The Senate ordered that all baby boys born were to be killed. Funnily enough, that's just as apparently King Herod did, according to the stories, after hearing this, because he didn't want anyone to overthrow him. Now, throughout the Bible, there are other characteristics that the star had. They reckon that it rose from the east, as do most polar stars. It appeared at an exact time. Herod, who was a well-educated man, being the king, he wasn't stupid. He didn't know of it. So it wasn't anything unusual in the sky. It was obviously something that happens, but he didn't know about it. It endured over a long period of time, as the wise men witnessed it and were then able to follow it over several months. It was ahead of them as they rode from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which is around 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And lastly, the star seemed to have stopped over Bethlehem. So by knowing all these facts, we can count out some other objects straight away. You've got meteors. They only last a few seconds. They appear from a radiant. They don't really rise and they don't stop. You've got comets. Although they do rise in the east, they do endure a long time. In the duration, they can be up for a while. They're generally perceived as a bringer of doom, not birth. Like in 1066, when one appeared, everyone kind of went crazy and they reckon that our morale was down, which is why we lost 1066, the battle against the Normans. That and the fact that we marched all the way south again after fighting, I think it was a Viking army, wasn't it, we fought off?
Well, technically, the Normans were Vikings anyway.
Yes.
Because the word Norman comes from the word Norseman.
Yeah, so actually I learned that when I went to our trip to York for that gala dinner. So yeah, we were technically conquered by Vikings, so there's probably a bit of blood somewhere in us somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Yes, so because they appear to break the ordered motion of the stars and the planets, comets weren't really liked. They didn't like anything that was, you know, broke up the order of things. Also, there doesn't seem to be any comets recorded by the Chinese around that time who kept very good observations, or any other civilizations that kept records of the time. Plus, King Herod would definitely have known about the appearance of a comet, and he wouldn't have probably needed to have had to have asked the three magi that were strolling past. So what about supernova? Could it have been a supernova? Rises in the east, appears suddenly and endures for a while, but again, there were no records from the times to indicate any such event happened, plus Herod, again, would have noticed a new bright star in the sky. So we're looking for something around 3 to 2 BC that was part of the normal sky, wasn't really notable to an untrained eye until its meaning was explained by three wise men. So let's look at the king of planets, Jupiter, as a start. In ancient times, Jupiter was seen as like a wandering star. You know, they didn't have technology to see it as a planet, so it went against the stars and moved around differently, so they called it wandering stars, or later on they called it gods, didn't they? Gods for all the planets' names and stuff.
Yeah.
So in the Middle East, around September 3 BC, it's said to have had a close conjunction with the star Regulus, which means regal. The Babylonians actually call it Regulus Sharu. It's probably not how they say it, but that's how I'm saying it, meaning king. It also just happens that the Jewish New Year starts in September, when this happened. So in the Jewish New Year, the king of the planets met this star of kings. Although this was a particularly close conjunction, it does occur around every 12 years, but our older magi, they would have seen this before and not really got too excited about it because they would have known that this happened before. But as this first conjunction was happening, the constellation Virgo, the Virgin, happened to be rising with the sun. And not only did she rise bathed in the sun's light, but at one point during it all, she actually had a new moon at her feet, signifying a new birth. See where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
So in the month of September, the Jewish New Year, Jupiter, the king of the planets, had a very close conjunction with the star of kings, whilst the Virgin Virgo rose in the sun with a new moon at her feet. A fantastic combination of ancient symbolism. Surely that would be enough to excite the magi to jump on their camels and ride off. Not yet. As we know, planets also rise in the east and move eastwards through the stars, but at a certain point, they appear to reverse westward briefly and then return heading eastward again. And this is because we're seeing them from a moving platform, which is Earth. And it just so happens that Jupiter did this around that time. They're saying that around 3 BC, it passed Regulus, that star, in the first conjunction. It then returned to it and then passed it again, creating not one, but three close conjunctions, which is a much rarer event than the 12-yearly one. If you also had the means to have recorded it, it would have seemed to have made a halo above the Star of Kings, creating yet another symbolic gesture. A halo, obviously, to do with religious, and a coronation of the star. If this didn't force the old magi to actually get excited, I don't know what would. So when Jupiter appeared to stop in the sky, just before reversing briefly, perhaps completing its halo and giving the magi time to research it, perhaps discuss its meaning with others. We reckon it was around the 25th of December, funnily enough, 3 BC, that they finally decided they were going to jump on their camels and ride in its direction, believing it signified where the king had been born. Jupiter was now ahead of them, to the south-ish, depending, but it was still a known object and not a great star of Bethlehem. Now, we know on their journey they got waylaid and grilled by King Herod. So let's say perhaps it took them a few months to journey there, as we don't know how far they travelled really, or that they knew, you know, where the child was actually going to be born. They arrived in Jerusalem around June 2 BC, let's say. And funnily enough, just as Jupiter had another spectacular conjunction, but this time it was with Venus. The two were said around this time to be so close that you couldn't tell them apart with the naked eye. So you've got the two brightest things in the sky coming as one. Now, no one of the era would have seen this before, as it's a very rare event, and it would appear to be a great bright star in the sky to the south over Bethlehem. So perhaps the star of Bethlehem didn't actually stop over Bethlehem, but became amazingly bright at this conjunction. And Bethlehem was only 5 miles south. While the Magi were in Jerusalem, they might have been there, seen it happen, and then gone there. They probably followed Jupiter when it crowned Regulus, ending up in Jerusalem because King Herod. They then saw the conjunction and headed to Bethlehem in search of the baby Jesus. Because the conjunction only really kind of lasts a few nights, they move apart again. So it couldn't have been a long-winded stroll. So, on hearing all of that, let's build up a little conclusion. As the first conjunction happened, it signified birth with Virgo and a new moon. The coronation of Regulus meant king. The triple conjunction started in the Jewish New Year, giving it a Jewish religious significance. Jupiter rose in the east. Conjunctions appeared at precise times. Herod was not aware of these subtle movements in the sky, because there was a few of them and they were subtle. The events endured over time, which they did, quite a few months. Jupiter stopped in the sky, just like the Star of Bethlehem was said to. Jupiter appeared ahead of the Magi as they rode south-ish. And then last but not least, a close conjunction of two of the brightest objects in the sky over Bethlehem. If this was a real event astronomically, which it could have been, then it had all the significant characteristics of the account at the time, astrologically speaking. But I'll let you make up your own minds about what happened next, because I wasn't actually there. But on reading all of that, I found that very interesting nonetheless. What do you think, Mark?
Well, that is a good possibility. So the three wise men were actually coming to Bethlehem, nothing to do with the baby Jesus. They wanted to see this phenomenon for themselves. Also, I've read somewhere that Jesus wouldn't have been born in December because of the story that said that the shepherds were in the mountains looking after their flock of sheep. They wouldn't have been up in the mountains in December.
No, someone said it was more summertime, didn't they? Or spring, was it?
Springtime, yeah.
That makes the June sort of, that they arrived there around springtime, a bit more realistic. So that slots in a way.
The reason for the December, everything in December, is that the pagan festival of the winter solstice happens in December. The Romans didn't like the fact that the heathens, the pagans, were celebrating this thing in December and decided to put all of their festivals at the same time. And then the Christians did the same thing. So everybody, and so did the Jewish people, and so did the Muslims. They've all got festivals that happen around that time of year.
When you look into the history of it all, it's actually almost like an amalgamation of everything. All different cults and history and religion, all kind of, and people all put together.
Turkey, for example, was something that was brought in from the Americas. That's not a bird that we had on this little island, and it was brought over. Originally, what you would have had at Christmas is goose.
I've never had goose. I'm going to have to try it. Maybe I'll do it this year. I need to get an oven first, though. I haven't got an oven at the moment.
That might help. In a microwave.
Microwave a goose, yeah. See that going well. That will make a star over my house.
Well, the decorated Christmas tree is a German thing that we actually took on board because of Queen Victoria, because her husband Albert was German, and we took that into our homes for that reason. As you say, it is a mixture of culture and geography and history, and you can learn a lot about a religion through learning about the people.
You need to go and look up stuff, don't you? I always go, question everything.
Yeah.
Never take it as gospel, as they say.
I always say that reading is fundamental, and never take your information from one source. Always check out two or three different sources, and if they work together, then you know that it's pretty gospel.
Yeah, it's like what I wrote there. There's different bits and bobs from different places and different pieces, but then you sit there and go, they couldn't have got there by that time, and that had already happened by then. So you kind of then try and build up your own sort of story, getting all the facts in where they make sense and they fit. But I do love the story of it. I don't know why. I do like the story of wise men on camels riding through the desert with all the stars above them following this really bright star. It just brings out a really cool picture.
Yeah. There was a documentary, I think it was Heston Blumenthal or one of those, went in search of frankincense, and it was just a tree, just this one tree that was in the middle of a desert. Which you can get this.
So you reckon they didn't have any gifts then? And as they rode through, they saw this tree and thought, ah, I'll grab that and call it frankincense.
Yeah.